And now let's welcome Raina Daniels.
Hello. Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. I'm going to arrange a timer so I don't lose track of your time and mine. And open my journal where I wrote notes for today. This is deeply personal work for me, and it felt right to make sure that it was recorded where I record my most important thoughts. So my name is Raina Daniels. I'm the program manager at Q Center. Q Center is the LGBT Community Center of Portland. We have a beautiful building on Mississippi Avenue, and I invite you all to join me there. We are open 7 days a week, and so you can stop by during any of our open hours. No, please. Am I too close? Is that good now? I can come closer, and I'm being a little quiet just because I'm nervous. I want to also just give you a quick introduction that I'm not unfamiliar with Unitarianism. I had the gift of teaching religious education to a small congregation in Yellow Springs, Ohio. I went to college at Antioch College and was welcomed with open arms there. I was able to also incorporate the Our Whole Lives curriculum into the peer-to-peer sex education that I was developing as a teen. And so I thank you for that work and for the joyful spirit that I know is always present with Unitarianism and the support that you give to both my friends and family and community through your presence and through your openness and through your social justice work as a community. In thinking about how to tell you about the Q Center and without familiarity of how these presentations often run, I didn't want to give you my typical, this is what Q Center does, this is the list of our programs, please consider donating online, because that felt really dry, especially for a Sunday service. And so I thought I'd take you through the week that I had this week and the work that I do. And I think that highlights some of the work the Q Center does generally. I went to church in my own way three other times this week, and so I'm going to highlight those moments and weave through some storytelling about my work as a queer person in Portland. And so last weekend was Pride. This week is Pride Month, and last weekend was Portland's Pride celebration. It's referred to by some friends and colleagues as LGBT tax season, because the work that any of us who are what we call gay for pay ramps up for June in a way that is really indescribable. And so we are through that Pride weekend, moving through Pride Month. It's a time of a lot of logistical organizing and a lot of presence, a lot of visibility. Oftentimes it becomes a target for violence and escalated tension. The work that we do around fundraising is oftentimes peaking, and the work that we act as a hub and a magnet and a lighthouse for community feels vastly important in June, because it's when folks are seeking out their community to be with as well. And so I'm not going to go into Pride Week, but I'll tell you that I was recovering on Monday from the Pride weekend that I had working somewhere around 12-hour days. My week on Monday began with unpacking our boxes from Pride. So we have banners and materials from all of our groups. The Q Center has about 30 support groups and affinity groups that meet regularly, and we also act as a meeting space for other LGBT organizations and grassroots organizers in town. And so amidst the booth unpacking that I was doing was the wonderful finding and sorting of lost and found items from every other community that we serve. So I found very specialized banners that spoke to individual sexual orientation. I'm sure that you've seen there's a number of flags outside of the rainbow flag. There's purple, white, and yellow, and blue, and green, and red, and there's purple, gray, black, white stripes. All of these feel very important for folks who have otherwise been really unrecognized by community, and so we're happy to make sure that there are as many flags flown at Pride as there are variations and nuance to our family. This year at our Pride presence, we really focused on the presence of our booth at the festival. How many folks have been to the Pride Festival? A little show of hands, okay. So there's a large gated area with different tabling organizations and stages and food. And we really focused this year, instead of on building up or spending funds or spending a lot of organizing work on our parade float, we really focused a lot more attention on our booth, because that's the nature of the work that Q Center does, is not necessarily to be the bright display of performers, because there are performance-based agencies that do that work. And we're not giving away free merchandise because we don't have merchandise to give away because of our budget. And we're not trying to create a contingent parade home for folks who have maybe never marched in Pride before, because that's actually the work that so many of our affinity groups, the groups that meet at our organization, do. And so while we could hold under the Q Center umbrella all of the members of all of the groups and all the organizations and all the grassroots organizers that meet at Q Center regularly, we are instead actually happy and blessed that they have found their own individual communities and causes and works to march in those contingents separately. And so it's a boon that our parade group was very small. And we focused on this Pride booth work, and this year, one of the support groups that meets regularly every Friday at Q Center, the Trans Women's Support Group, really stepped up their volunteerism, because they wanted to make sure that members of their group, multiple members of their group, were present at our booth to do outreach to other trans women and gender nonconforming folks in community, to be able to share both their mentorship and presence. The fact that they, many of them, are over the age of 40 and are still alive is a blessing in our community, and that visibility was really beautiful this year. And so I was unpacking and unpacking on Monday. I also messaged with my ex that day on Monday. They just published an article about gender inclusive tech events and how to make conferences and tech events more friendly, and if you do any sort of public organizing or events organizing, it's a really amazing article, and so that was wonderful. And I had pizza at the park with another friend who does direct service work as a medical navigator for trans folks and gender nonconforming folks, and for LGBT folks generally, through one of the health systems locally. They're a devoted staff person to that work, because of the barriers that folks have found in getting the healthcare that they need, and because of the ongoing discrimination that LGBT folks experience when seeking medical care. And so that person's work is very heavy, and we both have very exhausting weekends. And one of our friends and donors is a pizza shop on 42nd. The pizza shop had a Pride-themed pizza called the Katie Lang Constant Craving, which is a reference to a Katie Lang song. I hear as many of you get that. And it was beautiful. It was a white sauce pizza, and it had edible flowers on it. And so I had that day in the park with my friend. On Tuesday, I supported some of our volunteers needed time off. And so as a really small staff, we have only 3 paid staff right now at Q Center. We're open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. all the way to 9 p.m. on Monday through Friday, and then 10 to 6 on the weekends. And so our front desk is covered by volunteers who work 3 to 4 hour shifts, and they answer calls, and they help set up for events, and folks walk in and ask for tours. They have access to a database of resources that I build with interns that can refer folks out to friendly providers, or give them information about programming at Q Center, or simply be an ear to talk about the issues that they're looking for. We give a lot of legal referrals, a lot of healthcare referrals, a lot of mental health referrals, and we do a lot of talking about housing and houselessness
both to folks who have lived in Portland for a while and folks who are needing to relocate because of safety or to find community. And so that we also refer to places where folks can volunteer and take youth programs, to coming out resources. That's the crux of the volunteer front desk work, and they use this computer system now to be able to update that information quickly and accurately and to track those calls that are coming in. But we had someone out sick, so I got to cover the desk, which is always really nice. It's an excuse to step away from my 500 email inbox with a good excuse. And to interface with community in a way that I really love. We always see an uptick in folks seeking coming out groups and coming out support around Pride. And one of those groups is Late Awakenings. It's a group specifically for women. Late sounds is a little bit of a misnomer because it's really a group that's intended for anyone who's an adult or who has already formed what feels like a fixed sexual orientation in the world and needs to rewrite that story in their friendships, community, or relationships. And so late can sometimes mean late 20s, or it can mean late 70s, and we see a really broad age range in that group. And so I gave four different referrals to like Late Awakenings in one afternoon, which seemed really high. The group meets in my small, in our intern office, in the information and referral office, because they've had the same meeting date for so long, they don't want to shift it for reoccurring members. But as a result, it's a very tightly fit group, and I'm worried about them for next month. That group happens on the same night of the week as our FDM support group, which is a support group for folks who are transitioning to male or to non-binary transition from being assigned female at birth. It happens at the same time as our trans femme group, which is different than our trans women's group. It's more open to non-binary, and it's also smaller. It's good for introverts. And it happens at the same time as our young people's AA group. There's an LGBT AA group that meets regularly at the Q Center. We also have NA groups and a smart recovery group as well. On Wednesday, I was setting up the Q Center for a memorial. We've also hosted weddings. I'm an ordained. I have the ordained ability to perform weddings in Oregon, which is great. We host open mics and we host potlucks. We host events. There's a cabaret night that is really fun and open. I describe it as Let It Karaoke because there are songbooks and a pianist playing live sheet music, but then there are pop songs and you can submit songs like you would at karaoke. Pop songs and musicals and old torch songs. But today, Wednesday, was a memorial. A member of our community who was able to receive the first recognition for their agender identity. They were the first person to receive an X on their documents, killed themselves during the earlier part of the month. And so the space, the auditorium, was reserved for a small gathering of friends. This person was a former volunteer at the Q Center and was a close member of many of my immediate friend communities. They had severed much of their personal relationships over the course of the previous few months, and so that complication of suicide and suicide losses is always complicated feeling. And this was a really beautiful space that included photos. No flowers were brought, because this person was so staunchly anti-capitalist that we decided as a group that they would have frowned upon the purchase of flowers, and so folks had picked flowers from around the center before entering in. And the PCC Queer Resource Center donated food to the event, which was really sweet. This person had been engaged with PCC. This is the heaviest part of my talk, and then we'll arch back out of it. Okay. I also learned that same day that on Tuesday afternoon, a person self-immolated in Portland in the park across the street from the courthouse. The information that we had was that this person, that their gender identity was unclear. but that they had entered the park in tank top and shorts and a red scarf. And the red scarf was enough for us to know that this was undoubtedly a trans woman or a non-binary trans femme person. This person read a lengthy statement regarding houselessness and the lack of housing services and support that they had received, the lack of mental health services that they had been able to receive, went on about the incarceratorial process of reaching out for help, and was witnessed then pouring gasoline over themselves and lighting themselves on fire in front of multiple witnesses. One of whom was Donna Maxey, who hosts the Race Talks in Portland. And Donna, in true fashion, was paying close attention to this person's words and agreeing with many of the statements that they were making. Donna was unaware of what the liquid was that this person had poured over themselves. And so on Wednesday, we went about the work that we do when a violent incident or a bias incident occurs in the LGBT community in Portland, which is reaching out to our networks to try and locate friends and family and community, to learn more information and to plan mobilization and response if necessary. The Q Center is part of Portland United Against Hate, which is a coalition of many of the organizations that I'm sure you've had touch with through your social justice work. Coalition of Communities of Color, the Immigrant and Refugee Community Organization, Urban League, Southeast Uplift, and Latino Network. So many of the other organizations that serve specific communities of color and culturally specific organizations banded together after the Trump election to make sure that we were able to respond to bias incidents in a quick and informed way, in a way that was trauma-informed and provided resources and support to our communities as much as we could without police involvement because of that risk and danger to our communities. And so that Portland United Against Hate model has really has been a boon to our organization and has been really strengthening of the work that we do and the intersectional work that we want to be doing as a community. I have to move faster because I'm running out of time. And so on Friday, oh, I skipped two things. I watched the thunderstorm roll in on a porch with two other friends, one of whom is another Midwestern transplant. And we talked about the Midwest and our complication with living and coming from Midwestern, and this person came from a very rural community that they don't feel they can return to despite their extreme heart sickness, homesickness. And so watching the thunderstorm roll in together was really sweet. On Thursday, I set up for the Queer Rock Camp organizers, and they got to eat the leftovers from the memorial the day before. The Trans Vets group happened, the Bi Brigade discussion group, and I had to reschedule a happy hour with a friend because of volunteer coverage issues. I went to church that night. The memorial felt like church to me in my own workplace, which it often does. But I went to church that night at a concert hall. I saw a queer performer called Serpent with Feet. If you didn't know, Baroque pop is a genre. It is. It's very chanting, oftentimes eulogizing feeling, lots of repetitive song singing, like a dirge. It was an extremely healing performance for me to go to. I'm going to read you just a couple lyrics that I really loved. I'm annoyed with clothes today. I'd rather swaddle myself in sorrow today. I don't want to be small, small, sad. I want to be big, big, sad. I want to make a pageant of my grief. Cut our own bed in half and carry your side everywhere with me. And later in the song, what kind of lover would I be if I didn't properly grieve? We learned on Friday the identity of the woman who killed herself. Her name was Chloe Segal. She was 31 years old. She was a games developer who was involved in Gamergate, if that sounds familiar. A campaign against women and LGBT folks within online programming and games communities. She was outed and doxxed in online bullying forums, what are part of the dark web. Many sites have been shut down for that behavior, but there are some that are still flourishing. Many of those have outed friends of mine who do LGBT organizing work, published details about their former lives, details about their work history, their home addresses and phone numbers, with calls for assault, with calls for murder, with threats. Chloe was autistic and had a difficult time with physical transport. She had a near impossible time communicating her needs and advocating for herself and her medical and housing needs. And she was isolated from community. She struggled with mental health and had in her way also fallen onto the opposite side of arguments that would have found her LGBT community support. She alienated herself in online discussion in order to radicalize the conversation. And she shouldn't have died. On Friday, I helped set up for the PDX Autistic Interests and Self-Advocacy Network. It's a new meeting happening at the Hugh Center specifically for folks with autism and Asperger's. A large percentage of their meeting are LGBT folks in community, and so they asked to relocate to our site. This is a big part of the work I do, is doing outreach to other professionals and volunteers in the community who are providing services that we have had requests for. I also helped set up for a Pride Shabbat, which happened on Friday night. On Saturday, I was off. This was yesterday. I got a call because our internet was down and folks needed referrals from the Smart Recovery Group, but we were able to reset the router, I think. And I went garage sale shopping at the Laurelhurst sale right in your neighborhood, maybe. From the street, I spotted support for Joanne Hardesty banners, and I was oogling them as I saw someone watering their lawn, and then recognized that it was an elder member of my community that I met at the Q Center through participation in our Lesbians Aging Proudly group, which is a group for folks 65 and older. There are other groups for LGBT women and non-binary femme folks for 55 and older and then younger than that, but this is the elder group. And so I pulled over, and I ran out of my car to introduce her to the friend that I was shopping with, and learned that she is going to be undergoing surgery for thyroid cancer on the day of her birthday this week. She's very, very positive in her outlook. She's turning 76, and we're really blessed to have her in our family still. I also found a screen print from a recently graduated RISD student of two cats, naked hairless Sphinx cats, formed in a heart shape, and so I took that home. And I went to church for the third time this week, in my own home, on my couch with the congregation of pets around me, two cats and a dog. I watched the Hannah Gadsby special called Nanette that's on Netflix right now. Hannah Gadsby is a comedian who's been performing in Australia for more than 10 years. She called this her last performance, although it seems as though it's not. She called this her last performance because she had been performing straight, self-deprecating comedy, not straight in a straight, not gay way, but in a formal, more traditional structure for comedy way. And this performance turned comedy on its head. She questions the nature of performance. She talks about the purpose of stories and the way that self-deprecation in her own story of herself as an LGBT person furthered her own self-destruction. She unpacks in this special a more true and nuanced story of what marginalization feels like than any I've witnessed before. I really encourage you to look at it. The fury and love and protection, the brilliance and brightness of this performance is what made it feel like church to me. And so that was last night, and I'm here with you. If my week sounds busy, it was. I left out so much other work. We are, like I said, only three staff, and the calls for participation in community and for outreach, even when countered with fundraising, sometimes that is a disproportionate, perhaps paltry percentage of funding that's oftentimes asked for the sake of self-promotion and business interests. Oh, can you just send out two staff to our event that is giving up 5% of our sales of one particular kind of beer at our bar for just this one weekend? We'd love it if you share it on your social media 3 times a week leading up to the event. That's a cynical example, but I want to tell you a generous thanks. For contributing also to a speaker's stipend and to including us in this collection. We are understaffed because we cannot afford the salaries of the staff that we need. And so we are actually 2.65 right now. Our elder program coordinator is my accomplice, and our executive director manages our fundraising, donor relationships, grant writing, operations, and all else. But we are a small and mighty team thanks for the dedication of our volunteers who work at reception, but also for the volunteers in the community that lead these vital support groups and other grassroots efforts. We still have lights to keep on and toilet paper to keep full. And so any contribution really helps the work that we do. We think that folks deserve to be lit up and swaddled. Hopefully they're not swaddling themselves in their toilet paper, but if they need to do that, that's fine. And so, in close, and I went over, I appreciate your patience and your attention. I really ask you to hold your chalice light and heart for the members of our community that we have lost, but also please hear their calls for equal access to healthcare, for burning down the barriers to making communication and needs felt and heard in our community, and to building up housing and housing resources for folks who cannot afford housing in the way that it's structured now. If you can open up your homes, I have any number of LGBT, wonderful, beautiful fire spirits ready to be very quiet, kind, and diligent roommates. And thank you again for opening your hearts to me and opening your congregation to me today.